Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match. Hey everyone, it is week 7. Happy Green Bay game day. We are all set for Green Bay to take on Houston at the not-so-frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Since it is game day, it is time to get our Prize Picks selections in for the week. Of course, you can download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. So, let's get after it. Here are my picks for today's game. I'm going to start with Josh Jacobs. More than 63.5 rushing yards in this game. Houston's interior defense is decimated. Their interior defensive line, Foley Fatukasi, has been banged up all week. He is questionable to play in this game. We will see if he is active or not. Even if he is, I'm not expecting him to be at 100%. Their two starting linebackers are out for this game. Jimmy Ward, their fantastic safety, is out for this game. So the entire interior of their defense, especially at inside linebacker, all banged up. It is going to affect what Houston can do when it comes to stopping the run. And Josh Jacobs is quietly having a fantastic season for Green Bay. And to add on top of that, you're at home at Lambeau Field, and I guarantee you Matt LaFleur is going to want to establish the run in this one. So I feel very good about Josh Jacobs more than 63.5 rushing yards. Next up, Christian Watson, more than a half rushing plus receiving touchdowns. All right, so let's break that down. Basically, he just needs to get one rushing or receiving touchdown in this game. This feels to me like a Christian Watson game. He hasn't had a ton of targets on the season. Of course, we saw him get the big touchdown last week. With Christian Watson, a lot of times these touchdowns seem to come in bunches for him. I also think teams are going to do more and more and more to take Jaden Reed out of the game plan for Green Bay as much as possible. Now, Green Bay does a great job of making sure that Jaden Reed stays involved. The ability for Reed to line up in the backfield, get end arounds, jet sweeps, all of it, like you can line him up everywhere. That makes it so it's really difficult to game plan him out of the game, but teams are still extra cognizant of where he is. And meanwhile, if you're not cognizant of where Christian Watson is at any given moment, he will torch you. So I really like Christian Watson's opportunity to get at least one touchdown in this game. Also, he's a big time red zone threat as well, especially with his size. We saw in that 4th and 2 last week, exactly what in tight situations, even if there's three guys around him, he's got such a huge catch radius that Jordan is going to find him. So again, really like Christian Watson more than 1.5 rushing and receiving touchdowns in this one. On the opposite side, CJ Stroud, more than 23.5 completions. I think there's one of two ways. Actually, there's like three ways this could go, right? In the first scenario, let's say the worst case scenario, Houston is really, really good in this game and they just beat Green Bay clean. If that's the case, I'm sure Joe Mixon and the running game are going to be heavily involved, but CJ Stroud's going to get his and he's going to probably throw at least 24 completions. In a world in which we see one of these big-time shootouts between the Texans and the Packers, two high-powered offenses, CJ Stroud going to have more than 23.5 completions. And in a situation where Green Bay is doing great and Houston is down, CJ Stroud is going to have to throw the Houston Texans back into this game. So I like Jeff Hafley's defense and how it matches up against Houston in this game, but I still like CJ Stroud to go more than 23.5 completions. And last but not least, Tank Dell, more than 59.5 receiving yards. We know that Stephon Diggs is going to be probably locked up a lot with Jaire Alexander. That has been a matchup that Jaire Alexander is owned throughout his career. You have a wide receiver core with Houston that is very banged up at the moment. Obviously, we know Nico Collins, their top receiver, is out. And when you sort of start breaking this down, Green Bay's probably going to focus on Joe Mixon in the running game. Stephon Diggs might get matched up with Jaire Alexander, which again is a matchup Jaire Alexander's done really well with. That's going to leave Tank Dell. And I still believe there's going to be a ton of opportunities where Houston is going to have to throw the ball around. I think this is going to either be, again, a shootout, or I think Green Bay might get the lead and Houston's got to throw their way back in. So either way, Tank Dell, extremely dynamic wide receiver, and getting him the opportunities in this passing game for Houston, I think is going to go a long way in trying to get them either back in the game or be successful. So I like Tank Dell more than 59.5 receiving yards. So just to recap, Josh Jacobs, more than 63.5 rushing yards. Christian Watson, more than a half rushing and receiving touchdowns. CJ Stroud, more than 23.5 completions. And Tank Dell, more than 59.5 receiving yards. Now, of course, there are a ton of amazing options out there with this game and every other game, so there's no reason not to get in on the action. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's game day, Packers Texans. This is the one. This is the game. And as soon as we learned the matchups at the end of last year, we didn't know the schedule yet. We didn't know the order of operations. We all kind of thought this would be a primetime game. It's not, whatever. It is what it is. But this was the game that I looked forward to the most, the one I was most excited about. And now I'm even more excited about it because as I told many of you, I'm going to be going with my oldest son. It's his first regular season game, and I'm super stoked about that as well. So for all reasons, obviously CJ Stroud, Jordan Love, personal reasons, it's going to be the whiteout. We've got white helmets. I don't know what that means. I had to do the all white today just to kind of get ready for everything. But either way, this should be a very fun matchup. Before we get into all of the great details of this game, which is, it has been defined as a heavyweight fight, a super heavyweight battle, whatever you want to define it as. It is a really, really fun football game with a ton of super talented players. So we will break all of that down. Quick shout out to Ben Miller for becoming an all-new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate that a ton, Ben. Of course, if you haven't signed up yet, make sure to check those out. Also, it's Luigi's Pizza Day. So a lot of stuff to go over with Luigi's here, all really fun. First of all, some really exciting news. You can now buy Luigi's at Jerry's County Market. Hudson, Wisconsin, Wausau, Wisconsin, New Branch, Minnesota. I am talking to you. We now have Luigi's at Jerry's County Market, and you can find Luigi's Big Daddy, their ultimate pizza, at County Market. So make sure to go and check that out if you are in Hudson, Wausau, New Branch, or even if you're near, make the trip and go get, if you haven't tried your first Luigi's yet, whew, you are in for a treat. So make sure to go do that. My Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game is none other than Christian Watson. Talked about this a little bit. I just feel like as more and more teams start to focus on Jaden Reed, we saw a little bit of a breakout from Romeo Dobbs. Well, at least I don't know if I want to say a breakout, but like two touchdowns on three receptions last week from Romeo Dobbs. We had the big play to Christian Watson. They're still going to get Jaden Reed involved, right? Tucker Kraft's going to be involved. Josh Jacobs is going to be involved. We kind of know the core of this team, but it feels like as soon as teams start sleeping a little bit on Christian Watson, it's when he gets going. And these sort of touchdowns and big plays for Watson, they tend to come in bunches. So I'm going to be watching for Christian Watson in this game. He is my Luigi's Pizza player to watch. And of course, after every Packers victory, it is Luigi's Victory Monday. The winner from last week, by the way, Badger by Birth. So congratulations, Badger by Birth. You get a free case of Luigi's Pizza. We will get that sent out to you. And then when they do win this week against the Texans, it will be a Luigi's Victory Monday. You just need to tweet hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday and follow the Pack-A-Day Podcast and Luigi's Frozen Pizza on Twitter at Luigi's Pizza, L-U-I-G-E-S-P-I-Z-Z-A, and you will be entered to win that case of frozen pizzas. So when it becomes Victory Monday, make sure you are tweeting that out. All right, on to some very sad news, unfortunately. Probably my least favorite thing to talk about, I was wrong. It's the worst. Nothing major, but I talked, I think earlier this week, about Saturday being the deadline to make that transaction for Jonathan Ford. Technically, the full 21-day window has not passed yet. So while this is the third game that he could have potentially been activated for, the 21-day window has not closed. So Jonathan Ford did not get added to the active roster on Saturday. However, his window is not quite closed yet. So I was wrong on that. Oh, it's one of my least favorite phrases to utter. I'm totally saying that in jest. It's going to happen from time to time. It's not a major deal, but Jonathan Ford still has the eligibility to be brought back, but they will have to make that decision early next week, but the deadline was not today. So he's not on the roster right now, but his eligibility is not quite gone yet. So Green Bay has a few more days to make that final decision on Jonathan Ford. As far as Houston goes, one update to their injury report, Steven Sims, their wide receiver and kick returner, he is downgraded from questionable to out. So he will not play in this game, and Houston will have to decide who they want to take on their return duties, both as a kick returner and a punt returner. Call-ups for Green Bay. Andrew Beck, the tight end H-back fullback, was called up once again. They're going to have to ultimately make a decision if they want to put him on the roster. This is his third call-up already. So if they want him in future games, they will have to add him to the active 53-man roster. Meanwhile, the Texans officially activated Denico Autry off of the suspend list, and then they elevated Desmond King, the corner slash kick, or sorry, I should say punt returner more often. We'll see if he gets involved in the return game with Steven Sims being out. And then they also called up Troy Harrison, a fullback. In actives, what we're going to kind of be looking for about an hour and a half before kickoff, the big one for Houston, there's only one player remaining that is quote unquote questionable. That is Foley Fatukasi, their starting defensive tackle. So that's one to keep an eye on for Houston. For Green Bay, there are two questionable players that we kind of want to watch out for, Colby Wooden and Dontavian Wicks. We basically have the answer on Colby Wooden, right? They would not go into this game with only three defensive tackles, which is where they would be at if Wooden would not play. They would only have Slayton, Clark, and Brooks. I don't see that happening. They didn't activate Jonathan Ford. They didn't call up any defensive tackles from the practice squad. That's going to lend me to believe, I should say, that Colby Wooden will play in this game. And then Dontavian Wicks, that one's tougher to predict because there wasn't any call-ups or anything like that, but they wouldn't need to, right? They have six wide receivers on the active roster. If Wicks isn't going to play, they wouldn't need to specifically call anyone else up. So we can't tell that until the inactives come out. My expectation is Wicks gives this a go, but if Green Bay wants to remain cautious, they absolutely could, in which case they're going to have full trust and faith in their other wide receivers that they already have on this roster. So that one we'll have to kind of keep a little bit closer of an eye on when those inactives come out. My predicted inactives for this week, Devontae Wyatt, of course, out with the injury, Brenton Cox, Andre Dillard, Travis Glover, Kitano Ladapo, and John Fitzpatrick. I think if Fitzpatrick would have gone, they would not have called up Andrew Beck. So that is my prediction there. Same as last week, save for last week, they called up an additional player. And then Luke Musgrave was inactive. Luke Musgrave not on the roster, so they don't need to deactivate him. And they only called up one player this week instead of two. So that is my prediction for the inactives this week. All right, let's get into our preview for this game and what I will ultimately be watching in a very, very fun matchup with Packers and Texans. Actually, this is not on my list, but I just want to say it one more time. The amount of overall talent on the field between these two teams, and a lot of it is young, up-and-coming, really fun talent. You know, whether you go CJ Stroud, Will Anderson on the defensive side for them, Jalen Petrie is a safety that I really, really like, Stingley at corner. We know all the young, fantastic Packers players. Laremy Tunsil is one of the best offensive tackles in football. Zach Thomas on the other side as well. Like, it is just a game where there is so much talent on the field. I've said it for a handful of weeks now. I believe there are eight teams that can ultimately win the Super Bowl this year, and these are two of the teams. In fact, I had the Houston Texans in the Super Bowl in my prediction preview show prior to the start of the season. Some people didn't like that. I still stand by. I think Houston's got a great chance to get to the Super Bowl this year. I'm excited to continue to watch this team, but unfortunately, they're going to have to, of course, get humbled first by the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field come this game. All right, what I'm going to be watching as far as a matchup standpoint and just kind of as this game progresses, I've talked about this one already, but it's worth noting one more time. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson versus Rashid Walker and Zach Tom. We've talked about it a lot this week, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on it right here, but this is just a really fun one. Whether it's the actual matchup in this game or going back on Monday and watching the All-22, you're just seeing two fantastic edge rushers that can get to the quarterback seemingly at will at times, like they're that good, against two of the best pass protecting offensive tackles in football, and specifically Zach Tom, but Rashid Walker in the top 15 as well when it comes to pass pro. I'm very interested to see who they put on each side. Usually it would be Hunter going against Walker, and it would be Will Anderson going against Zach Tom. I'm interested to see how much they switch that up. Do they maybe get creative and try to get those guys inside against guards rather than those two tackles? All very fun questions that I think we're going to have to watch unfold in this game. Houston does not have a super dynamic interior pass rush, although Denico Autry coming back certainly adds to that a little bit. This is the fun one, though. And what Green Bay does to sort of counterbalance it, as much as I trust Rashid Walker and as much as I trust Zach Tom, I do think you're going to have to give them a little help. Just a full day. Let's say Jordan drops back to pass 35 times, whatever it ends up being. Just a full day of one-on-ones, even if you're Zach Tom against these two premier edge rushers, that's a tough day. It's a very tough day. I think we could see a lot of two tight end sets in this game, a lot of Kraft and Sims. Just, when you get that extra tight end on the line, right? A lot of times what can happen, now they can put those defensive ends extra wide, which Houston will do probably a little bit in this game, But it just, as a defense or as a offensive tackle, it just makes it a little bit more predictable from the pass rusher standpoint of where they're going to go. It's tougher to get all the way around the edge, like around that tight end. And, you know, it's more likely that they're going to either come right at you or they're going to come inside, because it just makes that pathway a lot further. And it gives the offensive tackle a little bit more help with the tight end to the side. So that is one thing I think we will see, is some extra tight ends. If there is a tight end, if there's just one, I should say, I think we're going to see it a lot more on Rashid Walker's side. Again, just to give him a little bit more help. Rashid just needs to control the penalties. He can get a little bit grabby. We've seen some holding penalties. He can get a little bit jumpy. We've seen some false start penalties. So he's got to make sure that he doesn't have that. Green Bay's going to want to stay in manageable down and distances, because I don't care if it's Zach Tom or Rashid Walker. I don't care if it's David Bakhtiari in his prime, Chad Clifton in his prime, Larry Allen, Trent Williams. I don't care who it is. If you get into some third and long situations and those two can tee off on you, they're still going to make it very difficult on you. So it's going to be very important that Green Bay can stay in some of those situations and stay unpredictable, meaning it's not just an obvious pass down and they can tee off and just go to work with all the delicious pass rush moves that both of them have in their arsenal. Number two, Packers corners versus Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. Talked about this one a little bit already as well, but how does Green Bay match their corners? And maybe more specifically, just how does Green Bay line up their defensive backfield in this one? Is it what we've seen the last 2 weeks with a lot of Javon Bullard in the slot and Keyshawn Nixon and Jair on the outside within Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety? I think we see some of that in this game. Is it their primary formation? That I don't know. With Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs, do you want maybe some more pure cover guys on the field? Do you want maybe a Carrington Valentine? I would not put Eric Stokes in this game. We've talked about it for the past few weeks. We talked about it for a while, right? Eric Stokes struggles with the route running types, the in and out of their break types, the change of direction types, the agile types. Hello, Tank Dell. Hello, Stephon Diggs. Like, those are exactly those type of wide receivers. If you're going to play any man in this game and you have Eric, so even in zone, even like if you're dropping back, I don't want anything to do with Eric Stokes versus Diggs or Dell. That's a bad matchup for Eric Stokes. So do you put maybe more Valentine out there? And do you put Nixon in the slot with Jair on the other side? And then regardless of who it is, like, and here's maybe why, by the way, you want to put maybe Nixon in there, is let's say you want to have Jair go with Stephon Diggs everywhere. All right, you can do that. But then you better have somebody who can go outside and cover a wide receiver, meaning that Javon Bullard in the slot doesn't really work. Because if all of a sudden Stephon Diggs is in the slot and you want Jair to cover that, well, now Javon Bullard's got to go to the outside and play the outside. And that's certainly not something that you want. So again, all of these different moving pieces. And if you don't move Jair around, right? Let's think of it that way. If Jair does stay in one place, what you could end up have happening is Jair is on their number three wide receiver, whoever they end up making the primary number three in this game. Maybe Xavier Hutchinson, we'll have to wait and see. But whoever it ends up being, like, that could be Jair on that side. And they just kind of take that number three and say, well, you're going to be our sacrificial guy. We're not going to throw at you, but you're going to have Jair on you. And then you're going to get Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs versus whatever two other players you have out there, whether it is Bullard and Nixon, or whether it's Nixon and Valentine, or Nixon and Stokes, whatever it ends up being. Those are going to be more advantageous matchups for you. So how Jeff Hafley handles this entire defensive backfield, from what sort of formation do you want to put out there, and then how you want to utilize Jair. Jair's had great success against Stephon Diggs in the past. Is that something that you just want to have him do? Well, we'll see. But I don't think you want a situation where Jair is just on their number three and the other two don't have to go against Jair at all. I think that would probably be a problem for the Packers. And again, I'm very interested to see how they utilize Javon Bullard, which also, by the way, could theoretically affect and would affect how Evan Williams is utilized. Or is Evan Williams just the safety now, and now Javon Bullard's got to find those slot snaps here and there to get him on the field? All very interesting questions in this game, and I'm sure Jeff Hafley will have a plan and a plan B and a plan C, but they might need to utilize them, because these wide receivers are going to pose some very interesting questions and matchup problems for this Packers secondary. Number three, we've talked about it a ton over the last, what, 3-4 weeks? Packers pass rush. You cannot let CJ Stroud sit in the pocket and pick you apart. This is not a situation where, oh, you're going against a quarterback where you hope they can stay in the pocket because they're not going to be able to beat you with their arm. CJ Stroud, you can pressure and he can still beat you with his arm. If you don't pressure him, he's going to tear you apart. He's that good. He anticipates well. He throws with great accuracy, timing, rhythm. He has a great arm. He can hit to any layer of the field. He can layer the ball. He can take speed off of it. He can put speed on it. Whatever you need him to do, whatever ball you need in a specific situation, he can deliver it. You can't make him comfortable. In no situation can you make him comfortable. If that means you have to blitz him, you're going to have to blitz him. But man, would it be nice if this was the game where Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark and Carl Brooks and Preston Smith and Kingsley Enagbare, TJ Slayton, Colby Wooden, the whole group decided, you know what? We're gonna win our matchups up front. We're going to get after CJ Stroud and we're going to go win this game because they're kind of due. That's what I want to see, is this pressure group specifically step up. And hey, it might take some Edgerrin Cooper blitzes. It might take some Quay Walker blitzes. It might take some Keyshawn off the edge or Javon Bullard from the slot. It might take a variety of different, blitz schemes and just unique play calls from Jeff Hafley to make this happen. That's okay. But at some point, you need to win with four. And that's where I really want to see it. I do think that Kenny Clark has a great matchup with Kenyon Green in this one. That's when he has to win and be a menace from the inside. If he can do that, that's going to make things difficult on Joe Mixon. That's going to make things difficult on CJ Stroud. And that's a game where, I say all the time, when Kenny's going well, this defense is usually going well. So if Kenny can go well in this game, I like Green Bay's chances of limiting the point production for Houston and giving Green Bay that great opportunity to win this game. Number four, the middle of the Texans defense. We already talked about Foley Fatukasi. We don't know if he's going to go. He is questionable. We'll keep an eye on the inactives on that one. And then Mario Edwards was suspended this week. Danico Autry is just returning from suspension. How many snaps can he play and how effective is he going to be? What type of game shape is he in? Henry Tooto and El Shaair, the linebackers, both out for this game. That's right up the middle of this defense. And then Jimmy Ward, their great safety on the back end, out for this game. You are decimated as a Houston Texans right in the middle. And that is where D'Amico Ryans likes to win. That's where he usually has a lot of his stack success, right up the middle of that Texans defense. And now they're obliterated with injuries and suspensions. Can Green Bay take advantage of that? Can Josh Jacobs get going right up the middle of the field? Tucker Kraft over the middle of the field. Romeo Doubs utilizing the middle of the field. Christian Watson deep down the middle of the field on those deep posts. They should be susceptible. They are playing with second and third stringers at a lot of those spots. Take advantage of it. Even if Foley Fatukasi does play, he hasn't had a great season, and now he's not 100%. Got to be able to win inside. Those edges, good. Outside corners, good. Like, it's not going to be easy sledding on the outside. So the middle is where to attack. And the great news is Jordan has no issues attacking the middle. He's going to have to be careful with the ball, right? No crazy hero throws. Take care of the football, but this is an opportunity for Green Bay to attack the middle, and they should have success, whether it's running or throwing in the middle of that Texans defense. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back, and as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Number five, speaking of that middle, the two safeties, Eric Murray and Kalen Bullock. Kalen Bullock is a fun, young rookie player, but he makes some rookie mistakes back there. You have the ability to attack him deep. This is where I go back to this being a potential Christian Watson game. And Eric Murray, journeyman safety. I believe he played for the Browns early in his career, if I remember correctly. He's okay. There's nothing wrong. He's kind of like that Charlie Pepper type a little bit, where you can win with him on the field, but you're not winning because of him. And I think you can take advantage of him a little bit. So Eric Murray and Kalen Bullock, not your strongest safety group in the world. Can Green Bay take advantage of that? Number six, which running game is more effective? This is a game of balance. We talked about being predictable. Both of these defenses are going to want to make the opposing offense predictable and make you into obvious passing situations so that you know what is coming, that you can get your prime coverage defense out on the field, that you can pin your ears back and rush the passer and get after the quarterback with your blitz packages. That's what every team wants. They want you to be predictable. They don't want to have to be guessing every play. Is this run? Is this pass? Is this play action? Is it... Then there's times where you're almost just guessing on the play. Yes, you're reading your keys and responding accordingly, but you want to make it so that you know exactly what's coming. And if one of these offenses is able to get their running game really going, it's going to give their offense a massive advantage. And if one of these offenses cannot get their running game going at all, it's going to be advantage to the opposing defense. So which running game gets going first and is more effective is going to be a huge indicator of who's going to be successful in this game. Number seven, as much as we don't want to maybe talk about it, we got to say it. Brandon McManus in this kicking game. We don't want to see kicks. We would just get it in the end zone. Please, please, please. But there's going to be field goal attempts. Kyme Fairbairn, a very good kicker for Houston. Very good kicker. Green Bay, it's been a journey. It has been quite the journey at kicker. Did they find their guy in Brandon McManus? Probably not going to know just from this game, but it would be nice if he got off to a great start, made some field goals, some extra points, etc. But this kicking game, this is not the type of opponent that you're going to get away with missing a 44-yard field goal, a 39-yard field goal, missing extra points. You got to put it through the uprights. You got to put Green Bay in position to get points if you're the kicker and you get those opportunities and you can't take those points off the board. So a huge game. I know it's his first game for Green Bay. Still a huge game for Brandon McManus in the kicking game. Number eight, what is the Packers' emphasis on defense? Joe Mixon, really good running back. They've got really good wide receivers and, of course, a great quarterback. What do you want to take away and what do you know that you're going to have to live with a little bit more? I think you got to stop the run. And I am a huge CJ Stroud guy. No question about it. He is a stud of a quarterback, but I think you got to stop the run. If you don't stop the run, what is going to happen? They're going to run. That's going to set up play action. They're going to stay balanced. And CJ Stroud is probably also going to take you out of this. Like, he's still going to be super effective. If you take the running game away, at least it's more likely that they're one-dimensional. Now, you might have to commit that extra safety. That could leave you a little bit more susceptible to Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell down the field. You kind of have to live with that. And you got to trust your corners and David McKinney on the back end to erase some of those things. And maybe you get a couple interceptions along the way. But you cannot live in a world where Mixon is just going off and you're having trouble stopping the run. Because you're just crumbling the foundation right underneath your feet when it comes to setting up a game plan that's actually going to be effective against this Houston Texans offense. So got to stop the run. Yes, it's not like you're super excited about, you know, saying, well, we're going to make CJ Stroud beat us, but I think it's better than the alternative where the run is going and now you're in no man's land trying to figure out, all right, what do we try to stop on any given play? Number nine, what do the Texans do with their man-to-man coverage packages? Because they like to play a decent amount of man-to-man coverage. Can they do that in this game? Green Bay's got the receivers to beat their corners. Matt LaFleur is a man, you know, coverage beater genius. Like, he will draw up everything, a lot of bunch formations, a lot of motions, a lot of pick plays. He knows how to get you in disadvantageous situations if you're playing man. So does Houston continue to go with it? I'm sure we'll see some, but Green Bay probably is going to have answers for it too. So if Green Bay can catch them in those man-to-man defenses and kind of see them coming, advantage Matt LaFleur, because he's going to have some situations and some plays drawn up to beat those exact sort of coverages. And then that kind of leads into perfectly the final one here, number 10, Bobby Slowick versus Jeff Hafley, DeMeco Ryans versus Matt LaFleur. These are very fun matchups. Slowick is a very fun offensive mind that knows exactly how to get this offense and their quarterback, why can't I think of his name all of a sudden, CJ Stroud, my apologies, in the right situations and scenarios. And I think that going against Jeff Hafley, very fun defensive mind, who's not afraid to come after you, will use a variety of different schemes, has been awesome in the second half of games. I think that is a very fun matchup. And then on the other side, you've got one of the great, bright offensive minds in all of the NFL and Matt LaFleur going against one of the great, bright defensive minds in all of the NFL in DeMeco Ryans. There are heavyweight fights on the field. There are heavyweight fights off the field as well, or at least very evenly matched fights is what I would say. I think D'Amico Ryan's one of the best coaches in the league with that defensive mindset. Matt, one of the best coaches in the league with that offensive mindset. And then again, two younger up-and-coming guys who I think are potentially have the ability to be coaches at some point in this league. So these are very fun coaching matchups and scheme matchups. They say styles make fights. These are great matchups on both sides of the ball. That's why I'm geeking out about this one. It's not just CJ Stroud, Jordan Love, which by the way, is enough of a headline in and of itself to see two of the brightest, best young quarterbacks in the game right now taking on each other and hopefully putting on a show for us. But it's all the other talent that's on the field. It's these coaching matchups. It's just, it's all over the place. Pick your battle, pick your matchup, pick your coaching scheme differential, like, difference between the two. Like, it's all right there. This is a nerd's nerd game, and it's going to be picked apart on the All 22 on Monday by, I'm sure, the national media, the local media in Houston and Green Bay. This is going to be a very fun one. It has been a very fun one to preview all week. It's going to be a very fun one to watch live. It's going to be a very fun one to break down after the game. And of course, we will be here for you right here on the Pack-A-Day podcast, 365 days a year, but of course, especially this week, to break it all down and go over it in great detail, as we always do every single week. The AI prediction, if you're wondering, that's been 6-0 so far through 6 weeks. It picks the Green Bay Packers in this one. So we'll see if the AI can continue and go 7-0 and get Green Bay a win in this one. My prediction, I'm going with the, I'm certainly not going to disagree with the AI at this point. I've got Packers 26, Texans 24. Green Bay picks up a 2-point victory at Lambeau Field. As I mentioned, should be a massive and super fun game. Lions-Vikings, of course, is another interesting one to keep an eye on. I know it's at the same time, but maybe just keep an eye on that one in the corner of your eye. I've heard a lot of people ask me, who should I cheer for? I don't think there's a wrong... Well, first of all, we don't cheer for either of these teams, right? We'll start by saying that. But I don't think there's a wrong answer here if you want Minnesota to lose more, because Minnesota has that win against Green Bay. They're two games up. Like, that's probably the way that I would head. If you think Detroit's just the better team long-term and getting them a couple losses right now, their second loss of the year, maybe not the worst idea. I can see that as well. I'm going to say Minnesota, though, I think is better, because you only have one game left against Minnesota. You're already two games back in the win-loss column, and they have the win on you already. Detroit, if they win or whatever, you still have two games against them. You still kind of control your destiny against the Lions. So I'll say I want the Lions to win in this one, Vikings to lose. I don't want the Lions to win per se, but I want the Vikings to lose. We'll put it that way. A tie wouldn't be the worst case scenario either. But for now, I'll say Vikings lose, Lions win. I'm going to say Vikings actually win this, but I think I'd prefer the Lions to win this one. Keep an eye on that one. Of course, we're all going to be keeping an eye on Packers Texans. As mentioned, should be an awesome game to watch. I hope you all enjoy it, whether you're in the stands, comfort of your own couch, wherever you may be. Enjoy the hell out of Packers Texans. I will be right back here tomorrow to break it all down for you. Shout out to our All Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brendan Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ataka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, and Love and Football. See you guys soon. Enjoy game day. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.